This is the long-awaited final shiur in Bereishis Rabba, Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter of Bereishis Rabba. And we've spent quite a bit of time on doing the first Perek Lamed, the 30th chapter, and then Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter, so I thought it would be appropriate to at least record the ending, even if we were not able to learn it together as part of our class. So this medrash is, if you recall, completing a series on the preparations for entering the boat. So we saw Hashem say, I'm going to bring a flood of water. He talked about everything dying. He talked about a bris, a covenant that would protect Noah in the boat. We talked about them entering the boat by gender. And the phrase, Mikol HaChai, Mikol Vasar, bringing all of the living, all of the flesh, and what that meant. And we are now up to two psukim, two sentences. It's chapter 6, sentences 21 and 22 from Bereishit, from Genesis, and what the Medrash has to say about them. Needless to say, this will not be quite as fun as when we do this as a group, but nonetheless, we hopefully will get something out of it. So we begin by looking at Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Aleph, chapter 6, sentence 21. It's source number 1 on the sheet. Ve'ata kach lecha, Hashem says to Noach, and you take for yourself mikol ma'achal asher ye'achel, from all foods that shall be eaten, from every food that shall be eaten. Ve'asafta elecha, you shall gather it to yourself. Ve'haya lecha ve'lahem le'ochla, and it shall be for you and for them to eat. So, looking at this sentence, the basic instruction of gathering food, there are certain questions we can ask regarding the language. And obviously, without the group here, it's going to be fairly brief. I will point out what bothers me about the language. So, first of all, v'ata kach lecha, you shall take for yourself from every food which shall be eaten. We have a history of commenting on these for yourself terms. When the Torah adds after a verb, lecha, do something for yourself. On a simple level, one might simply say that the idea is that you're supposed to do this, and don't read too much into the for yourself, but we generally do. So, lech lecha, shlach lecha, and indeed, we saw actually quite a ways back, Ase lecha tevat atze gopher, make for yourself a boat of gopher wood. And we talked about the meaning of the for yourself way back when. So here, take for yourself, what exactly does that mean? Second, it says, you shall take for yourself, mikol ma'achal asher ye'achel, from all foods that will be eaten. I'm wondering what kind of food will not be eaten. What does that mean? Why not just say mikol ma'achal, from all foods? Third, the pasuk says ve'asafta elecha, you shall gather it to yourself. But it already said kach lecha, take for yourself. Why do you need to say take for yourself? Dot dot dot, and you shall gather it to yourself. Or not even you shall gather it. You shall gather it to yourself would be a more correct translation. So what am I to make of that? And then finally, the animals only come in at the ending. You shall take for yourself from every food which shall be eaten. You shall gather to yourself, and it will be for you and for them to eat. It sounds like the animals may be considered second rate. The Noah first, animals second. So our Medrash, which is the first part of Bereishit Rabba 31:19, Lamed Aleph Yud Tet, by the numbering system that we are using. So our Medrash, I believe, capitalizes on each of these idiosyncrasies within the sentence. And we're going to take a look now at our Medrash, explaining it as we go along. Ve'ata kach lecha, it's source number 2. Now you shall take for yourself. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Omar, hichnis imo devela. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says he brought pressed figs, cakes of pressed figs, into the boat. Pressed figs, you know, sound to me like a little bit of a luxury as opposed to a nutritional staple. And the Gemara, they do come up. We find them talking about devela, pressed figs that they ate. For our purposes here, It does seem like this was considered to be a serious food for people, not just a snack. So Rabbi Elazar bar Kahana says he brought in pressed figs. But then, Tani Mishum Rabbi Nechemya, it was taught in the name of Rabbi Nechemya, Rove Michneso Devela. I've seen different ways to vocalize that word, Michneso, or something along the lines of Michanso. But the statement is, most of what he brought in, what Rabbi Amar Bar Kahana meant to say was not that he only brought in pressed figs, but most of what he brought in were pressed figs. Well, what else did he bring in? So we continue. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Omar, Hichnes Imo Zmorot Lepilim. He also brought in vines for the elephants. Chatsuvot Litzvaim. He also brought in Chatsuva grass. We'll come back to that. For the deer. And Zichuchit Lena'amiyot, as well as glass for the ostriches. This is what each species eats. So, I'll explain it now rather than wait, I suppose. So first of all, chatsuva grass has a bit of a history in the Gemara. I brought in source number 3. My chatsuva, what is chatsuva? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, this is the passage in the Talmud in Bava Batra. Rav Yehuda says, quoting, Rav Shabo Tichem Yehoshua Li Yisrael Es Haaretz. This was a grass that Yehoshua used to mark the boundaries of Israel in the land. When the Jews come into the land under Joshua, they use this grass in order to mark off the different properties. Why this grass in particular? So commentators note various things. One trait that is mentioned by many of them is that it would simply go straight down the grass. It didn't diverge to one side or the other. It didn't branch out, and its roots then would form a very good border marker between properties. But the point for us has nothing to do with marking borders. The point for us has to do with source number 4. Source number 4 is a Gemara in Shabbos. It's talking about transporting items on Shabbos. The rule is that if something has no function, if something is useless, then you're not allowed to transport it on Shabbos. So here we find, in source number 4, Metalplin is ha-chatzav. You are allowed to move chatzav. Chatzav, chatzuva, it's the same thing, this grass. You're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Mipnei shehu ma'achal litzviyim, because it is food for deer. Ve'es ha-chardal, mipnei shehu ma'achal liyonim, as well as mustard seed, because it's food for doves. European turtle doves love to eat seeds, and in particular mustard seed. I found listed as a food that they particularly enjoy. So that's a food for them. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer af metatlin shivrei zechuchit mibnei shumachal na'amiyot. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says you could also move pieces of broken glass because it's useful as food for ostriches. So coming back to the ostriches in a moment, but the point with chatsuva is simply that in the Gemara, in the Talmud, they identify this as a food for deer. So that's what Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is saying. Noach brought on a food that would be good for deer. This business about ostriches eating glass does sound funny, but a couple of points. First of all, they were quite familiar with ostriches. Historically, there was something called an Arabian ostrich. It is believed to have been hunted to extinction in modern times, but you had the Arabian ostrich as well as the North African ostrich. And of course, we find them listed in the Torah among the non-kosher birds. The Bat Hayahana is understood to be the ostrich. But in terms of any skepticism you might have about ostriches eating glass, I brought you a source from the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine. You can see it here, source number 5. And it says, ostriches require intensive management. They are very curious creatures and will peck at anything shiny. This behavior is especially apparent when the ostriches are young. Owners should be careful about what they wear when around these birds. Don't wear jewelry, watches, or rings when taking care of your birds, cautions Dr. Walker. They can snatch glasses from your face and swallow them before you have time to react. Their constant running in the pen also works debris up from the soil. It is important to walk the pen every few days to pick up the bits of broken glass, wire, bolts, or nuts that can come up to the surface from the movement of their feet, because there's a concern that they may eat something that harms them. But they actually will ingest glass. Anything shiny, it seems, they will ingest. So here we find that that Noach is bringing onto the boat whatever the needs are of each individual species. Going back into the Medrash in source number 2. He started out with pressed figs, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana did. Then we find out, no, it's just most of what he brought was pressed figs. But he also brought for various species of creature, from the elephant, deer, ostrich, fine. Rabbi Levi then continues. Rabbi Levi disagrees. Rabbi Levi Amar, Hichnis imo zmorot linitiyot. He brought with him vines, not to feed the elephants, but rather for planting trees. Vine, not necessarily literally, but the point is, he brought in that which he would need to plant trees. Yichurim l'te'enim, branches from fig trees, in order to be able to plant fig trees. And grofit l'zeitim, grofit is a term for branches from an olive tree. He brought those that he would be able to start olive trees growing. So we have Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, who says, you have different foods for different species. And then you have Rabbi Levi, who says, no, actually not, it's just, you know, just the devela, just the only food that we have listed here is the fig cake, and then everything else is for planting purposes. That's it. And then the Medrash continues. I added in brackets the words Perush HaDavar, meaning, because now it's about to explain the views of Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Levi and where they come from. This is unusual for a Medrash. We haven't really seen Midrashim that took the time to explain how lessons were learned from a text, from the Pasuk. However, here, that's exactly what is about to happen. Al date de Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, within the view of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, v'haya lecha v'lahem, davar shehu lecha v'lahem. The Torah says, it shall be for you and for them to eat. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said that he brings in the devela, the pressed figs, that's something that is for you and for them. I'm sorry, the way he's reading it right now is Vayalacha Velahem, it will be for you and for them. Bring something that is for you and bring something that is for them. Two separate things. Valdate de Rabbi Levi, and as far as Rabbi Levi's view, Vayalacha Velahem, it shall be for you and for them. Ata ikar, Vehem Tfeilamach, you are the essence. They are subsidiary to you, so let them eat what you eat. Not sure how the digestive systems are all going to respond to it, nonetheless. And then he continues to quote further from the Pasuk, from the biblical sentence we began with, V'asavta elecha, you shall gather it to yourself. Ein adam kones davar she'eino tzarich lo, one does not gather something that he doesn't need. So, what is going on in this Medrash that we've now read in a little bit of a choppy way? We had Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana say he brought pressed figs, which we then modified to mean most of what he brought was pressed figs, and he also brought for the different species. And then we have Rabbi Levi, who said, no, nothing besides the figs. And we explained that each of them drew it from the same words in the sentence. The Torah says, it shall be for you and for them to eat. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says that there should be for you and there should be for them. And Rabbi Levi says, no, it shall be for you, and they're going to have to come along with whatever you're eating. That is essentially our Medrash. But there are problems with this read. Problem number one, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, if you're telling me that he said that most of the food that was brought in was fig cakes, how do you reconcile that with having special foods for each species? That doesn't sound like most of what he brought was fig cakes. Remember, there are, you know, a handful of human beings and a whole lot of animals. So that's difficult, that read of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. And second, where did Rabbi Levi get the idea that we were talking about something for planting? This whole pasuk, the whole sentence is so explicitly about food. Where does he get the idea that this pasuk is talking about bringing anything on that isn't going to be for eating on the boat? So the Eitz Yosef commentary to the Medrash, bothered by the first of our questions, the Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana one, I believe that's what's troubling him, rewrites it. He also proves that you should rewrite it. If you take a look on your sheet, at source number 6, a Medrash a little further along in Bereishis Rabbah, when Noah plants his vineyard, it asks an interesting question. How did Noah plant a vineyard? Where did he have vines from? Where did he get vines from? How does he have the means to plant the vineyard? And lo and behold, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana speaks up. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Hichnes imos moros initios. He brought in vines. He brought in saplings. The yichurim shalteina, fig branches, grofios lezeisim, branches for planting olives. Ahudichsiv. As indeed the text that we read, it says, you shall gather you shall gather to you. Ein adam kones davar, elam ken hayatzarech lo. A person only gathers something, he only collects something if he's going to need it. So the point is that over here, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is the one who says that things were meant for planting, not, as it appears in our Medrash, Rabbi Levi. So the Eitz Yosef commentary, which we've used so much this year, says you're misreading, there's something wrong in the edition of the Medrash. And remember, the very first week of the year, we read the point that the Eitz Yosef makes, that one of the reasons why people don't study Medrash is because the text is corrupt in so many places that it makes it very hard to study. So he alleges that that's what's going on here. And what he says is the following. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is actually the author of the statement in our Medrash about bringing things on to plant. What Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said in our Medrash, if you track back through source number 2, he said that Noach basically brought in the pressed figs. They quoted Rabbi Nechemiah as saying that means most of what he brought in was figs. What was the rest? Not what's listed here, but what is listed for Rabbi Levi here. The rest was stuff for planting. In other words, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana's view is that Noach brought in figs for eating, and everything else was for planting. And Rabbi Levi was the one who said that Noach actually brought food for each species based on the needs of that species. That's the way that they work it out. I wish that this were a live shear so that I could actually map this out in a visual way, because I think that would really help. But Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana and Rabbi Levi get swapped, according to the Eitz Yosef. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is now saying, again, to make sure we're clear, pressed figs for the most part, and that's for everybody to eat, human being and animal. And then the rest was to be used for planting. How we know he's bringing something for planting, we still haven't answered. And Rabbi Levi's view is now that Noach brought for each species according to its needs. That's the way the Eitz Yosef rewrites the Medrash, because otherwise Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is very difficult to understand, and this will make it more consistent with the other Medrash where we saw explicitly Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says that things were brought on for planting purposes. But let's move beyond that, because that's a technical note. In terms of the actual substance of what we're saying here, even if the technical note was not clear, how do we get these two views from the biblical text itself? The view that Noah just brought on pressed figs for eating, and the view that Noah brought for each species, and then this idea that he brought things on that were for planting. So in terms of the view that he brought human food and everybody else had to live with it, so I think this comes from a few points. Number one, the text said, Kach lecha, take for yourself. Ve'asavta elecha, gather, collect for yourself, to yourself. So that indicates the human being is the priority. And then further, when the text says, lecha, ve'lahem le'ochla, it will be for you to eat, it will also be for them to eat, right? If you remember the biblical sentence that we started with, it shall be for you and for them to eat. That's talking about the pressed figs. Everybody's going to eat it. And that fits the way that the animals are presented in the text almost as an afterthought. The emphasis is really on the food of the human being. All the language really is about Noach until the animals get mentioned as and it's for them too to eat. So the view that Noach brought only human food is quite consistent with the text of the verse itself. That's number one. The view that he brought animal food, what do I do with that? How now can I say that he brought food for each species of animal? So one of the volumes of Medrash that I've enjoyed using the second half of the year I had access to it was an edition of Medrash Rabbah published by Mechon HaMidrash. And they suggest the following read. If you go back to source number one, the end of the biblical sentence, it says, V'hayalecha v'lahem le'ochla. It shall be for you and for them to eat. So they suggest that, according to this view, that he brought animal food, we should break it up as, V'asachta elecha, you gather for yourself, V'hayalacha, it shall be for you, V'lahem le'achla, and there shall also be something else for them, for the animals to eat. So that's a way to anchor in the pasuk, in the sentence, the idea that there's something there for the animals, each species getting what it needs. Where do we get the idea that there's something there that's just for planting? So this is very clever. Also, Machon HaMidrash points this out. we remember that when we looked at this sentence initially, I was bothered that it says to take mikol ma'achal asher ye'achel, from every food which will be eaten. So again, the folks at Machon HaMidrash suggest that this is a statement of from every food that will be eaten, meaning eaten in the future. That which is food now, and that which will be eaten in the future. That's how we get the idea that Noach brings something to plant for the future. So what our Midrash is doing is really, to simplify this still further, what our Midrash is really doing is it's saying that we have two possibilities. Either Noach just brought food for himself, and everybody else was expected to eat that same type of food, or alternatively, he brings for every species. And by the way, we also throw in the idea that he brought items to plant in the future. So the view that Noach brought what each species needed bespeaks a very important care for each one. I brought you a line on your sheet, really taken out of context, from Avos Rabbi Nasan. The Medrash there, it's in source number 7, is describing the hospitality of Eov, of Job, and he's going to get criticized in that Medrash in Avos Rabbi Nasan for not doing something that Abraham did. But the point that I wanted to show is that when it's describing his hospitality in a positive way, it says how he treated the guests, as Shadarko Lecho Paschitim Hechalto Paschitim, people who were used to eating wheat bread, he gave them wheat bread to eat. As Shadarko Lecho Basar Hechalto Basar, somebody usually eats meat, you gave him meat. Someone usually drank wine, you gave him wine. And the idea is that this is an ideal form of hospitality. It's tied to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that says, Yiyu Aniyim B'nei Beisecha, that you should treat the needy as members of your household. One way to take that is, make sure they have that which they enjoy in particular. So the Midrash is saying, Noach is supposed to take for each of the species according to that the needs of that species. That's number one. Then on the other hand, the view that he brought items to plant after the flood is important as well, because that speaks of the importance of planting and of planning ahead in order to plant. But remember that early in the year, we saw that that planting is considered a great virtue. The wicked are rebuked in part as people who just want to play and go enjoy the vineyards. And we had a little bit of a discussion about the vineyards. Is the vineyard a positive or a negative? But the image of planting is considered to be virtuous. So that's another piece here, is valuing that act of planting. So what we've seen, again, is this debate about what Noach brought in terms of food. There are lessons that we can learn from this Midrash in terms of planning for the needs of each species, as well as the idea of planning to plant. The end of our Midrash is a separate thought. It's commenting on the next pasuk, the next biblical verse. I brought it in source number 8. Vayas Noach kechol asher tzivo so Elokim kein asa. Noach did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. What's going to bother us in this sentence, obviously? Right. The fact that you say, so he did, right? Noach did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Why are you saying that twice? I don't think we're actually going to address that in this Midrash, but it bothers me. What we are going to address more principally in this Midrash is the fact that just a few sentences later, source number 9, right, this sentence here is the last sentence in chapter 6 in Bereishit, in Genesis. So just 5 sentences later, we have, Vayas Noach kechol asher tzivahu Hashem, and Noach did according to all that God had commanded him. So I don't understand. Why do you need that? The only thing in between the two is the set of instructions for him to bring in the animals to the boat. Then we get the statement that he did as God commanded. So how do I understand this? Very simply. Take a look at source number 10, our Midrash. Our Midrash says, Vayas Noach kechol asher tzivahu Hashem Elokim kein asa. Noach did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Zeh shikun la'asiyat hateva. Shikun like shachein, neighbor. This is neighboring the construction of the boat. What does that mean? Hang in there, because there's another Midrash to see. Source number 11. This Midrash, a little further along in Bereishit Rabbah, as you can see, it's chapter 32 instead of chapter 31, comments on the verse that we brought in source number 9. Vayaz Noach kechol asher tzivahu Hashem. Noach did according to all that Hashem had commanded him. Zeshikun Lakinus Behema Chaya Va'of. This is neighboring, the bringing in of the domesticated animals, wild beasts, and birds. In other words, what our Medrash is trying to say is this. We have two separate verses that say that Noach did everything God told him to do. One in source number 8, one in source number 9. Why are they there? The first one is there because it's talking about making the boat, as we see in our Medrash, in source number 10. And we're saying, Noach, you built the boat as you were told to do. Check. Then Noach gets the instructions about loading the animals and birds and so on onto the boat. And Noach did that according to all that God commanded him. Check. What's the message here? We've now succeeded in terms of the methods of our Medrash, right? Our Medrash is bothered by having two verses so close together that describe Noach doing what God told him to do. We've now assigned the two verses to two different jobs that he did, as God had told him to do. But the message that we're supposed to take away from this is that we value each thing that Noach did. We don't say, he did everything he was told to do. We value each act independently. He built the boat as he was told to, and then later, he loaded the boat with the animals and birds the way he was told to. We value each accomplishment of Noach. That's what this last bit of Medrash is trying to demonstrate for us by picking up on the fact that the Torah says twice that Noach did everything that Hashem had told him to do. So we've now resolved the last two sentences in Bereshit Perek Vav, chapter 6. One, with its odd description of the food that's brought, we now understand, take for yourself from every food which will be eaten, and you shall gather to yourself, and it shall be for you and for them. So either we take that as emphasizing the food is really for Noach, and by the way, also bring items to plant for the food which will be eaten in the future, or alternatively, it's meant to emphasize you're bringing the food not just for you, but for all the animals to be able to eat and bring what's appropriate for them as well. And as Noach did, as Hashem had commanded, in terms of the act of completing the construction of the boat, and then ultimately, again, for the loading of the boat. There is more to say. This would have been a lot more fun, frankly, with everybody all together, but this is what we will settle for, and I wish you a good summer.